Welcome back, everyone, to Orange Juice, news and notes from around the world of insoles. I am your host, Owen Kinoy, and today we have an awesome guest, Chris Gregory, who really has had an amazing fitness journey, really with several accomplishments along the way. Not kind of your traditional story, so to speak, where kind of grew up in a hometown and went to the hometown school, but really just a wide variety of experiences. So we are going to talk with Chris and then get into a little bit more about why movement and exercise are important for our everyday life. So obviously we've highlighted in the past a variety of different ways to get your body moving and how to do that effectively, but sometimes it takes a little more motivation and just hearing about the why. And it's not something that, hey, the doctor tells me I have to exercise and I have to move, so I'm going to do it. There's a lot more to it, and it can be a really gratifying experience. So with that said, we'll introduce Chris Gregory. He is the community outreach coordinator at Playmakers, avid runner, loves to move his body, but I won't speak too much for him. But welcome on, Chris. We appreciate having you on.
Yeah, thanks, Owen. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So Chris has been with Playmakers for how long now?
Just over 2 years.
Awesome. And then as community outreach coordinator, I'll spoil it a little bit for our audience. There isn't necessarily just like a typical day for Chris. He is doing all sorts of fun, different stuff to kind of push the idea that movement and exercise is really important and can be something exciting as well. But Chris, what would you say kind of your whole job entails? I know you also work with like training the staff at Playmakers and whatnot, but how'd you kind of start to describe your role there?
So my role here at Playmakers, lots of variety, which is great. I enjoy that. I work the sales floor as a fit specialist. I do a lot of stuff in the back room. So pulling orders, organizing, and getting new or sale product where it goes. And obviously the community outreach coordinator, setting up and going out to physical therapy and podiatry clinics in Greater Lansing to do our Footwear Matters clinic, which is essentially talking about what we do here in store with our, our services, free clinics in the good form realm, and then keeping them up to date on the latest, like the trends with solution-based footwear, where things are at with technology and best shoes for certain injuries or ailments, just how we can help out their patients get in the best footwear when they're dealing with an injury, and we're here to keep them moving and healthy.
Yeah, and that's awesome. And it's really about bridging that gap between brands like Orange Insoles, so to speak, and the medical professionals like a physical therapist or podiatrist, or also, and then finally the customer, and just making sure that everyone's on the same page as to what types of products are going to help certain individuals. And then also just kind of, like you said, Chris, what's up and coming and best practices. And that collaboration really is how you get the best results for patients and customers and that sort of thing. So for new listeners, Playmakers, again, is where Chris is at. Playmakers is our, I guess, sister company, so to speak. And we've talked about it on the podcast in the past. They have a variety of running shoes, but also comfort shoes, hiking shoes, insoles, whatever it may be. So Chris is obviously very actively involved there in a variety of things. So Chris, you are not a Lansing native, so to speak. Where did your story kind of start, and how'd you kind of get into running and fitness?
Correct. So I'm originally from Dayton, Ohio. Despite the fact I've lived in Michigan for 22 years now, I still get the, oh, are you a Buckeyes fan? So for those listening, no, I am not. I'm a Dayton Flyers fan.
Go.
Growing up in Dayton. But then funny enough, I went to Xavier University for 2 years. They are, well, back in the day when they were both in the Atlantic 10, they were rivals. So that was a problem, right? Wait a minute, you're going to Xavier, but what about Dayton? I then decided I wanted, after going through a couple different potential major options like political science, history, criminal justice, I wanted to do something in the fitness realm. They didn't have that there. So I then transferred to Creighton University in Omaha and got my, I was there for 2.5 years, got my bachelor's in exercise science with a double major in philosophy. So I lived in Omaha for 2.5 years after being in Cincy for 2.5 years. And then what brought me to Michigan was Western, the Broncos in Kalamazoo, and got my master's there. I lived there for 3.5 years, master's in exercise science. And that's in the undergrad, going into graduate years, that's when I started running. I grew up playing baseball and basketball. I put this, like, my childhood dream was playing first base or right field for the Cincinnati Reds.
Love it.
So I grew up playing ball sports, basically, and running was later in life, early 20s.
Okay. And when it comes to running, did you start out kind of training for events? Because I know you've done marathons and whatnot, or what was kind of the trajectory there? Was it kind of a casual thing, or where all did it take you?
Yeah, I would say casual thing. When I was at Xavier, I had a couple friends who were on the cross country team. So I started running a little bit in between all my, I love playing pickup basketball. I played intramural volleyball. And so I started running a little bit, but then this is a game changer for me. And so for folks out there maybe looking for motivation or something to latch on to, whatever it might be, where it's like, well, something is no longer there. Now I have to be adaptable and change. I took a semester off in the fall of 2000. So, oh my gosh, that was 25 years ago, before transferring to Creighton. So I transferred there school year, which was not an easy thing. 11 hours away from home. That was when the Sydney 2000 Olympics were going on. So I wasn't on a campus. I wasn't playing pickup ball. I just started running like 3 miles and then did a handful of 5Ks that fall and found out that I enjoyed it, like taking that basketball fitness and just translating over. And that's where I began running. So I was doing 5Ks in the fall of 2000 in the greater Dayton area. Just kind of, hey, I got to keep moving. I got to find something. I got roads outside my door.
Are you a competitive person, Chris?
I would say yes, mainly with myself.
Yeah, well, that's just what came to mind is, a lot of people I'm sure can relate where it's like you're not always going to have an abundance of friends and family and network readily available to collaborate with or move with. Of course, there are some awesome communities like that. Playmakers right. Obviously has their run group, but running can be something that you can do with yourself and challenge yourself and really make it more of like a self-growth journey and that sort of thing. And a lot of people have seen really awesome transformations, whether that's from a body perspective or from a mental standpoint or whatever it may be. And that's interesting that you say, you know, just when you're kind of in between things, that's when you picked it up, because it is something that is so easy to pick up like that. So,
and I think sometimes going back to the one of the questions, which I really want to talk about at some point, is what can be a barrier for someone getting into exercise or finding movement in their life? And honestly, that was a barrier at that time frame, at that point in life. It was like, wait, I don't have a basketball court. I'm not on a campus. I don't have my peers around me. I'm living at home with my parents who, you know, sit on the couch and watch TV. So what am I going to do? Well, I did do a little bit of running. Maybe I can keep doing that because, you know, I'm by myself. And then I found a little bit of connection and community at those 5K events that I did. And then if you're ready for that next little shift, I know what it's like to be last as well. When I transferred to Creighton, I continued running. I walked on the cross country team. I don't often talk about this. There were 11 runners and I was 11th out of 11 because I was brand new to it. And I know I made good friends, but I know some of the folks on the team are probably like, who's this guy? Who's this basketball player, weightlifter trying to run? And so when folks say, oh, you're naturally, well, I still had to train. I still had to do my thing, but I know what it's like to be last. And I know what it's like to be judged a little bit as like, no, you do weightlifting and basketball. Why are you trying to run? But I was able to learn more because I was around runners. And of course, my degree, as I was studying exercise physiology, learn more about all of those processes in, you know, that realm, obviously. And then ran 5 cross-country meets in the fall of 2001. And it was enough to understand, oh my gosh, what are spikes? What are actual specialty running shoes? So going to the running shoe store in Omaha.
What was the store?
I honestly can't remember. Now that I'm saying it out loud, who knows if it still exists or whatnot. This was in 2001. Sure. But yeah, it's just like that was then. That's what we got me into the game, and then dealt with some injuries and such. And then I went to, after I graduated, then I was in the same boat back home in Dayton with my parents. I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? You know, starting up at Western. So we'll leave it there for a second. Kind of questions or?
Well, I think it's really admirable that you put yourself out there and you weren't afraid to not be the best, right, in the room. And, you know, there are some of those challenges that come with that. But
at the vulnerability,
same time, you know,
like insecurities, maybe, however you want to word that, it'd be scary.
Yeah, that's just human nature. But, you know, it sounds like, especially towards the end of your journey, finish your name, obviously it's an ongoing thing. It's still happening today, right? You're not at the end of your fitness journey, that's for sure. But just as you're kind of building through this journey, really admirable that you were able to do that and make some connections. And then I'm sure, you know, once you make those connections, it gets a little bit easier, whether they're sharing their practical advice or even just some small motivation or whatever it may be. But yeah, I mean, everyone has to start somewhere, and walking onto the team is really a great achievement. I'm sure training wasn't easy either.
No, it's very, very different for sure, especially in the winter time in Omaha. It's really windy and snowy. And then now I was just wearing, going back to like run specialty and why it's important to get fitted for shoes. I was wearing like Saucony shoes that I'd gotten from Kohl's. Like that's what I was training in, up to the point where the team, you know, after walking on the team, they're like, okay, we're going to go to the running shoe store. And I started running in the Nike Pegasus, which I think anyone who's done any form of running throughout the years has probably worn the Nike Pegasus.
Sure.
And the Nike Structure as well. So Nike was the first brand, I started running in. And that was a game changer. Like, oh, wow. Instead of running in my court shoes or cross trainers coming from basketball, yeah, that made a big difference. So getting fitted for shoes for your specific activity.
Yeah, that's something we've talked about on the podcast quite a bit in the past, where, you know, you can have all this motivation to start a new activity, whether that's running or pickleball or hiking or whatever it may be. But if you don't have the right equipment, it's not that you can't do it, but it's just going to be a lot more difficult. So maybe just starting with your feet, I was going to say from the ground level, but just starting with your feet and take care of yourself there really goes a long way when you are kind of hopping into these new things that you're trying out.
Yeah, we do that at Playmakers. We help fit people for shoes for the right activity, whether it's, you know, obviously we get runners, but I mean, most people are coming in for that comfortable quality pair of work shoes or lifestyle just day to day because they are dealing with some ailments or injuries. But in the winter, like hiking boots are going to be much preferred to an on casual slip-on. And then if you need a recovery sandal at home, then you know, like we've got you covered there, or a Birkenstock sandal because it's summertime and you want something supportive. But it's hot outside. So it's not just for athletics. It's also for seasonal. Like what kind of footwear are you looking for specifically?
Yeah, it's really about holistic health. It's really tough to point to, you know, one pair of shoes or one product. Or, you know, I know you mentioned the good form classes, and you also do stretch, strength, and roll. So you can't, you know, just run or just do one thing. It's kind of really a collaborative thing, and more about taking care of your body as best you can. So, back to kind of your cross-country journey, how did that end? So you walked on, and then did you finish out your career on the team? Did you kind of do any running post-collegiately, or what did that end up looking like?
Yeah, that's a good question. I should say, too, I forgot to mention, I do coach good form run and stretch, strengthen, and roll. That fits in really well with the personal training background, of course. And I love talking about that stuff because I know it's helped me. And that's a perfect question segue. Yeah, I ran the 5 meets in 2001. And then I thought, oh, more mileage is good. More mileage is good. And I kept running, but I was still doing some strength training, but in short, developed some chronic knee injuries, T-band syndrome. I didn't run the 2002 fall season. So that was kind of a bummer. Still played a little bit of volleyball and some, you know, pickup basketball, maybe racquetball here and there. But essentially it was a little challenging if I think back to it. Just a short stint, but in the moment you're like, oh my gosh, I'm a wreck. This is what's going on. Graduated in 2003, May. And then when I moved back home to Dayton, I was still having issues. So I was at a local fitness center, strength training, on the elliptical a lot. I learned how to swim when I was at Creighton from a couple friends, doing a lot of aqua jogging. In 2003, I then did a kind of an internship with a physical therapist, and then got linked up through them with an orthopedic surgeon who actually worked with the University of Dayton Flyers athletics. He hooked me up with a script for orthotics, custom orthotics, and then physical therapy. And then it was then working, like going through PT with at that clinic, that I then said, hey, I'm interested in going into this realm. Can I observe? And so I did some hours, obviously unpaid internship, but just like learning more. At that same time frame, I had applied to so basically I didn't run for quite a while, and getting linked up with a specialist and learning more about physical therapy, custom orthotics, and all the rest. I had applied to Western Michigan, not just for grad school, but also a graduate assistantship. I got accepted. Then upon moving there in August 2003 to Kalamazoo, Portage, actually. I continued running, and it was still like I was running, but it took me a while to really get into a groove. And then, what was it? Oh, geez, summer 2004, I was working part-time at the Bronson Athletic Club, and then I picked up a Runner's World magazine, learning more about Michigan, being brand new to the state, and I heard about this race called the Crim 10-miler. I'm like, oh, I'm going to train for the Crim. I'm going to break 1 hour. So I took a 9-week half marathon training program out of Runner's World, used that train for the Crim 10-miler, and ran, my goal was 1 hour, and I ran 60:18. So it's pretty darn close for how hilly that course is. So I was pretty stoked with that. And then I just continued that training program for 9 more weeks. I had 2 friends that I had met there. And they were training for Detroit Half Marathon. I went to register for that, but it was closed. So I registered for the marathon. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's a long way to go.
Yeah.
At least we took the half program, added to my long runs, and ended up running. Did a few 5Ks as well throughout the fall, and then ended up running Detroit in 2004, ran a 2:49, qualified for Boston. And I think that was like game changer point right there, was like, I've taken my degree, worked through some injuries, talked with an orthopedic surgeon, physical therapist, and suddenly I'm, you know, qualifying for Boston in my first marathon. It was like pretty crazy.
Yeah. So there's definitely some talent involved in that. I feel like I know a lot of people couldn't go out and do that, especially with just a modified program and limited time. But also what I heard you talk about was a lot of the different resources that it took to kind of get you in a spot to be able to do that, right? It wasn't just picking out the right program from the magazine. It wasn't just picking out the right shoes. It was the right shoes. It was the magazine. It was the training program. It was the custom orthotics, the physical therapy, all of the above. So it's interesting how as you're kind of gaining more of these resources, you're applying it, and, you know, it's kind of a recipe for success, the talent plus the knowledge. And here you are with some pretty killer marathon times, it sounds like. So
yeah, it was a lot of fun getting to that point and being able to apply everything. And what I learned, and that's the thing, taking what you learned from a previous season in life and then going, I'm not going to do that. And that was when I was at Creighton trying to run 60, 70 miles a week, or like running every day. That got me injured. I didn't have the right shoes. I was always running on road. So then in this training cycle, I only ran 4 days a week. I was cross training on the stationary bike and continuing up with my strength training, doing my mobility work. And I would maybe swim like once a week. The bottom line is I was using all the pieces of the fitness puzzle instead of just running to stay healthy and get through that training cycle. So learn from mistakes, modify, and find a way moving forward. Because we're all going to run into hurdles, whether it be an injury, life circumstances, and things that kind of want to throw us off of our game. How do you adapt and keep moving forward?
100%. And with exercise and movement, Chris, do you find that it's like beneficial for like your mental and emotional state? And how does that kind of impact you there? Because I know everyone kind of hears like, hey, if you move your body, you feel better, but I don't want to just kind of leave that broad statement out there. Have you kind of noticed how it impacts you moving your body and your mental well-being and all of that?
Definitely. Well, going back to the variety is the key.
Yeah.
Moving not only is good physically, but also mentally. They're saying, you know, you're sitting is the new smoking, where basically constantly sitting tightens our hip flexors and our hamstrings, weakens our glutes and our core. And so by moving around, you get more physically, but then also you get new blood flow to the brain, through the body. So it improves creativity and work and life thoughts to be able to take your, just get new blood flow to generate new ideas and refresh yourself mentally. So like if we continue, I won't go too deep into it. When I was at Western, still worked through, ran a few marathons and some shorter distance stuff, but was still dealing with some injuries because there were some misalignments going on. What helped me strengthen my core, I was doing Pilates regularly at the Bronx Athletic Club. We'll just call it the back. It was actually the kind of the sister fitness center to the MAC, right? Here in East Lansing.
Yep.
And so I always heard when I was there, I would hear about the Mac, you know, the Mac, and it seemed like, oh, this, like, the back's pretty big, but the Mac's like, I think, like, triple the size. So you kind of think like, oh, whoa, Lansing, East Lansing, that place has got to be amazing. Just little Kalamazoo, you know, Pilates twice a week. I was doing that regularly, no joke, for probably 2 years straight. Mind you, I was in group, and so this goes back to, like, busy schedule. You know, people say, well, time, whatnot. Yeah, I was renting. I was in my early 20s, single, but I was working 60 hours a week. I was a GA teaching classes. I was in grad school taking classes, and I worked part-time at the Bronson Athletic Club on Saturdays and Sundays. I literally worked 7 days a week. But what did I do to prioritize my exercise? It meant sometimes I was on the track running at night at 9 p.m. because I was motivated to get out there and do my thing. Or I would finish a shift at the back and then go into a Pilates class or go before. So I would make sure to prioritize, and maybe I'd be in the pool doing some aqua jogging or on the stationary bikes, whatever. So I was fortunate to have the tools and be at it. You know, we have the fitness center at Western Michigan. I was in the, you know, the basically the sports and rec department. So I was in that building, right? So I could either do strength training there or when I was at work at the back. But I was working 55 to 60 hour weeks between my classes, teaching classes, and working there. But I still, it was important to me, so I prioritized it. And my sleep suffered, I'm not going to lie. And I would say that probably increased my chances for injury, and that we could talk about that as well. Recovery is critical for mental health and longevity from a standpoint of exercise good, but you have to leave time for repair and recovery, and you can't just wear yourself down all the time.
Yeah, it's certainly a balancing act, but you bring up a good point where, you know, we're all busy, we all have stuff going on, and it's just about making fitness and movement and exercise a consistent priority, because it is easy to kind of push it to the side or forget about it or deprioritize it. But like we said, at the end of the day, you're going to feel a lot better, whether that's just being more accomplished or literally working your mind and body more and just feeling more relaxed at the end of the day. I love how you said sitting is the new smoking, because, you know, it just kind of makes sense where it's like, you know, use it or lose it sort of deal. And, you know, the bottom line is, as we age, we want, you know, our mind to be sharp, but also we want our bodies to keep up for as long as possible. And keeping moving your body now is the biggest way to stay ahead of it, I'd say.
Yep. The earlier you get into it, like, one thing's for sure, you can start exercising at any age or any point in life. However, there is a thing called muscle memory. And essentially, the earlier you do get into a regular exercise routine, whatever that may be, then it kind of sticks with you throughout the years. And it's easier to kind of get back into it. So consistency and trying to make it an important part of one's life earlier, sooner than later, is a good thing.
Yeah, and actually, just in our previous episode of Orange Juice, we were talking about how to declutter your fitness life, so to speak. And it's like, for some people, having all these tools and equipment and apps and that sort of thing are really useful. But if you're not using them, it's okay to peel it back. And it's like, hey, all I need is a good pair of running shoes, you know, and maybe some free weights or something like that. And just trying to build those habits, and then building on top of those habits, a lot like how Chris explained, where he just started with, you know, rec basketball and volleyball and just kind of getting out and moving with his friends. Chris, so we are absolutely going to have you back for another episode if you'll come back. But as we kind of wrap up, I guess, your running journey, or we start to wrap it up, where did things kind of take you from there? I know you mentioned you qualified for Boston. I assume you went and you ran. But what's kind of the long story short on the rest of the running career and whatnot?
Jeez.
And we can leave a cliffhanger for episode two, and that's fine.
Potentially leaving a cliffhanger, because, I mean, I could streamline it, but it's really long, the past 20 years. I would say that after those first few marathons, having some injuries and getting linked up with the right specialists, I started swimming and biking per the encouragement from triathletes that I met at the back. In the local triathlon club, then got me in the sport of triathlon. And before, I thought tri was going to be more of a thing, actually, which it went for a little bit. I still do tries, but that then got me training for my first Ironman. And I did one and never again. Triathlon helped improve my running game. Let's put it like that, because I had more variety and allowed me to stay more injury free. And yeah, that we'll put it right there. That's about 2007, 2008.
Okay. Well, as we talk about why movement and exercise I think that could be just an appropriate stopping point for now to hear how Chris got into things. He didn't just flip on a switch overnight and start running 10Ks and half marathons and marathons. There was a lot of trial and error along that way, trying different activities. And one thing that I know Chris has preached is just variety in your movement, not just counting on running or biking or swimming or playing basketball, but just moving your body in so many different ways. So I'd say that is a great story, Chris. Thank you for sharing. And I know there's more to it that we will dive into, but hopefully for our audience, you were able to get some motivation for yourself to get out, get moving, to exercise. Maybe you are already moving and just having a hard time taking that next step. So Chris, maybe if you are having a hard time taking that next step, what are some things that you'd look at? For me, I guess what comes to mind is maybe like form or footwear. What kind of quick things would you highlight for people to keep in mind as they get started?
Yeah, definitely getting the right shoes for your activity. That's huge, because they can lead to injury. It did for me. And then having a pair of insoles like Orange. In my instance, it was Custom Orthotics at the time. Some sort of insert to assist can help, which it did for me. So getting fitted for the right shoes, potentially getting some insoles, if that can be beneficial. And then finding an activity you like. That's the key. Don't do something just because it seems trendy or others are doing it. You gotta really like it. And then if you can find a few things you like, then it might ebb and flow seasonally. Maybe you have some things indoor. I mean, I still love strength training and it's an important part of the puzzle. So I have some indoor stuff and some outdoor stuff, but find what you really like doing and then get the right equipment in this instance, starting with obviously the footwear, the ground up is a game changer for one's comfort and enjoyment of that activity.
Well said. I think Chris has, well, I know Chris has the experience in the background to kind of back that up. So hopefully our listeners are just hearing that and really taking a few good points out on how to get moving and exercise your body. But so much to dive into still with Chris. We are going to have Chris back on a future podcast. Hopefully in the next several episodes, we'll have to just get with Chris and make sure our schedules align. But thank you so much for listening. And we appreciate it. We'll be back with more news and notes from the world of insoles. Take care.